Engaging conversation on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Hello, this is Janet Morena, Executive Director of Priests for Life. And guess what? Yes, we are still in April, which is, if you've been paying attention to our programs, Abortion Recovery Awareness Month. And you might be saying, what do you mean, Jan, about abortion recovery? Well, you know what it is? For decades of our experience with abortion recovery, with Rachel's Vineyard and so many other wonderful programs, we know people who've had abortions suffer. They suffer physically, psychologically, emotionally, and spiritually. And we're here to have you help us spread the word. So today, I'm spotlighting another recovery program. And it's a very, very dear friend of mine. Her name is Sheila Harper, and she founded the beautiful program called Save One. Founder. Sheila, welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's always such an honor to be on with you, Janet. Thank you.
Well, and I'm always honored to have you. And a lot of times, too, I have your wonderful husband, Jack, who's not here today. But we're going to get right into your story, because you founded Save One because of your own abortion experience. So quickly tell our people about that.
Well, I was 19 and I told my friend that I was pregnant. I wasn't married in college. Told my best friend that I was pregnant. She said, oh, just have an abortion. It's no big deal. And I clung to those words. It's no big deal. I absolutely believed that. And she helped me make the appointment for the abortion. And as that time drew closer, that date, I kept thinking about the Supreme Court. And I thought, well, surely they wouldn't make a law that was bad for me. And so those are the two ways that I justified this decision, was listening to her. She said abortion was no big deal, that she had had one. And I believed the government. I believed that they would not make a law that was bad for me. So I had that abortion on March 29th. It's a day I will never forget, because it was by far the most regrettable mistake of my life. I spent the next 7 years hating myself. As a matter of fact, I hated myself so much, I attempted suicide about 2 years after the abortion. And then when that didn't work, I tried to kill myself with drugs and alcohol. And then finally, I was driving down the road one day and heard a commercial on the radio that a local pregnancy center was putting out. And it simply said, if you have had an abortion and you're struggling, we have a class for you. And I remember thinking, there are others, like there are enough of us that they had to form a class. Because I know in society, they try to tell you that it's, you know, that you are the only one that is suffering, that there is no one else who regrets this choice. And so you isolate yourself because you kind of think you're going crazy, because what is happening on the inside does not compute with what you're being told. So anyway, I went to this class that I heard about on the radio, and it absolutely changed my life. I started realizing the very first night that it was a big deal and that what I did was wrong.
Yeah. And I think, Sheila, the other important thing is, like you said, you went to a class and there were other women like you who also were struggling. So you felt right away, oh, I'm not alone. There's nothing wrong with me. It's not just me. Because as we know, our society says, like you just said, have an abortion today, go back to school and work for tomorrow. No big deal. Mm-hmm. But you were like, oh, this was a big deal. I shouldn't have done this. Oh my God, Lord, what did I do? And you start, and you just shut down.
Yeah.
You internalize it. You're afraid to tell anyone about it when everyone else is cheering about reproductive rights and women's rights. And you say, oh my gosh, I don't feel that way. So thank God that pregnancy center had a class.
Right.
But then that spirited you on to say, you wanted to help more women like yourself. So tell us, how did you do that? How did you get from, okay, I've been forgiven, I feel better, but what am I going to do with that? Okay.
Well, it was amazing. On that very first night that I went to the class, when all of the women in the class were telling my story, and I recognized that this was a big deal, I started showing up week after week because I wanted to be free from this. And I wanted to really believe I could live again and not look at my life through the lens of abortion. And so I made it all the way through the class. I immediately signed up to work at the pregnancy center because I wanted to give back to them because they had done so much for me. And so I started working there. And then I told them I really want to do abortion recovery, what I went through. And so they put me through a little training, and then I started teaching their abortion recovery. And I knew that was my calling because I loved being in those rooms with people and seeing this, them have the same revelation that I had. And it was from that that I started the nonprofit organization, Save One, helping men, women, and families recover after abortion.
Right. And tell them now about your abortion recovery program, because it's, I know you have the books, you know, all the manuals. I have them all in my office. They're fantastic.
Thank you.
Quickly tell them about that. And sure. Then I want you to just kind of give us the snapshot. Like, you guys have chapters all over the United States and different parts of the world. So go ahead. Tell us about Save One.
Yes. Well, it was funny because when we first started, I feel like we've been indoctrinated to believe that this is just a woman's issue. But when we started having success, seeing women come through the Bible study, the very first book that I wrote was the Women's Bible Study. We started having success, and women were coming out telling people what class they had been to. And then a man asked to go through the Women's Bible Study. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, that's a fluke. He came through. It was beautiful. He got healing. And then the next time I offered it, a second man asked to go through the class. So my husband and I collaborated on a men's study. Then we started having grandparents and siblings want to go through the class, and people who had been deeply impacted by a loved one's abortion. And then I wrote a third Bible study called The Ripple Effect. So all three of these Bible studies mirror each other. So it's easy to do a one abortion recovery class at your church or pregnancy center and invite anyone who is abortion wounded. And they all have their own book and on the same subject each week. And so that's what we started doing. We just started helping people and walking through the next open door and the next open door until now. I thought this was just going to be an organization that I started at my church. But now my husband and I travel every single week introducing Save One to churches. We're probably in 45 different churches a year. But then besides that, we now have over 400 locations in 28 nations around the world. Those books that I wrote have been translated into 25 different languages. And so that just tells you, you know, it doesn't tell you like, oh, I don't want you to look at us and think, oh, there's something because this has grown so big. I want you to look at it and realize that's because the need is so great. We need other organizations. We need people doing abortion recovery because of the need.
Right. And so churches, I want to just zero in on churches because as we all know, I mean, I always feel if the pastors and clergy in churches and their congregation would not tolerate abortion, it would be a huge game changer. We wouldn't be here.
Yes.
I mean, with legalized abortion, they'd be walking away. They wouldn't vote for people who supported abortion. It would be so much different. But it's like they're ignoring the issue, and they don't realize sitting in their very pews are people who are hurting and too ashamed to say anything. They're not going to reveal that. And very often a pastor might have his wife who had an abortion or his sister had an abortion. And we can't go down that. They don't want to go down the road. So how do you create this magic that you manage to get into these churches? Tell us the secret.
Well, I don't know if it's magic, but we talk to these pastors and educate them on the fact that this is a spiritual issue. It is not a political issue. At the same time, we can't opt out of the political process. We should be the loudest voice in Washington. But at the same time, the local church is where the power is. And we have put all our eggs in that one basket where as the church, we need to pull that back from politics. And so it's just educating the pastor on the fact that because you're not talking about abortion here, because you think it's a political issue, there are families that are falling apart. There are men looking at pornography and women who are drinking secretly, trying to numb themselves because of this abortion when they wish they could talk about it in the church. And so I usually will say, just trust me. Let's just get a story out there to your church. And the minute they do a video or they offer the class or they have one of us come, you know, somebody from Save One come and tell our story, they are always blown away at the numbers of people who finally say, that's me. That's me. No one has ever talked about men and abortion. No one has ever talked about abortion from the pulpit. I have a friend, I was just with her a few minutes ago, that says she was a preacher's kid, was in church every weekend, had an abortion to hide it from the church. She said she was 27 years old before the word abortion was ever spoken in her church. And she couldn't believe it. It was shocking that they talked about abortion that day. And she remembers the day. It was so shocking. So this is a subject that's happening to all of our families around the world. We've got to talk about it in the church.
So now you say you and your husband get to about 45 churches a year. I know you're always on the road. Suppose someone's listening right now and said, okay, Sheila, I want you and Jack to come to my church and talk to my pastor. Tell them how to get a hold of you. What to do?
Yes. Well, our website is saveone.org, or you can write us at info@saveone.org. It will get to us, or it'll get to Jack, my assistant, Sonia. But emailing us, calling us, all of that information is right there on our website. All our resources are available on our website. Our t-shirts are available that say Love Life. It's all right there at saveone.org, but you can contact us. We would love to talk to you. We don't set a fee that you have to pay us to come to your church or anything like that. We just want you to do an abortion recovery. And so we come and introduce that to your congregation. And we've never had anybody, not one single time, has somebody said, oh my gosh, I wish they hadn't come because our church is worse off, because they're always amazed at the numbers of people who have this in their past.
Right. Well, you know, and that's really the key point is everyone thinks, oh, not our church. Oh, we don't have
right.
that here. You bring people like you in and they go, oh my goodness. Like the pastor must feel like I have neglected my flock. That I did not say something sooner. I let them sit in my pews Sunday after Sunday hurting. And yes. I wasn't helping them, you know. So
I think they think that if they're suffering, they're going to tell us. They'll talk about it. But this is a subject that people don't naturally talk about when they have that in their past. It's almost like they have to have permission to talk about it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what you're doing. You're opening the doors wide and getting them permission to. And see, the good thing about bringing, and I do this with our work with Priests for Life. See, if you bring us in to talk in your church, the pastor can kind of sit back and watch you go.
Yes.
And if it's good, he takes all the credit. and if they don't like what you say, he can say, oh, I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have brought them in. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, that's
you know?
Right.
So he's in a safe place, right? He doesn't have to worry about the blame game. He could just sit back. But as we know, in the decades, we've been having our clergy go out into churches too in the Catholic world. There has never, ever, ever, like you said, an incident where it's not received in a good way because they're sitting in those pews and they are hurting. So tell us again the website, because I want everyone to get a hold of you guys. And I'm going to make you even busier this year than you already are.
Well, we love it.
45 churches. I want to get you to 52.
That's great. We'll do it. But if you can contact us at saveone.org or email us at info@saveone.org. We'd love to hear from you.
That's it. That's terrific. Well, Sheila, I want to thank you. As always, you are a great inspiration, taking what one time was the sin and the shame and all that and getting free of that and now helping countless other people. So God bless you and Jack. Continue your great work in abortion recovery.
We love you. Thank you.
Okay. God bless. Well, brothers and sisters, I hope you are inspired. You'll get a hold of Sheila and Jack and bring them to your church real soon. So again, Abortion Recovery Month, I hope you're tuning into our programs. And please spread this message far and wide, because there are some people out there hurting, and you're going to be the only one that can bring them to healing. It's up to you. Thank you, and God bless.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.